This episode of Racks, Fur, and Feathers is brought to you by Red Bud Liquor at 3213 West Front Street in Buchanan, Michigan. The largest selection of liquor and craft beer in the area and the coldest beer in Bucktown. All right, everybody, welcome back. Just the three of us today. Me, Mr. Mustachio, who's to my left right now.
Hey, hey.
And Ray Cole, who stepped out for the moment. So, straight another drinking beer and talking smart episode, and that's really, I think, all we need to say, Adam.
Forewarning.
All right, here we go.
Wait, that's different.
First, we should probably say Happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
This is going to just drop it on Father's Day. Ray, you're a father. Happy Father's Day, brother.
Is that today?
Technically, yes.
Well, Sunday will be when it drops.
Right.
Yes. All right. Happy Father's Day, Adam.
Thanks. My dogs love me.
Fur babies.
My wife does, too.
How's
me daddy sometimes.
How's that kid business going?
Working on it.
Yeah?
Still.
Every day?
Nah, every 2 days. That's what the internet says.
Every 2 days?
Yeah, for like 3 weeks. It's cool.
Keep telling me about your baby making. I got to do your levels again.
Which, according to the internet, I have to try.
Are you splitting time? Is that why it's every other day?
Because you have to have time to like recoup.
Oh.
I don't know.
Like get your sperm count back up or what?
I guess, yeah. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how these things work, but I think so. I don't know. We've tried so many different things now. It's ridiculous.
Or is it for her to recoup? You tearing that up?
Well, the only thing we're not trying is adoption. So we're going to keep this up until it happens or doesn't. And then she'll leave me and it'll be cool. It won't be cool, but I'll do whatever I have to do to, just went weird.
Call Sally Struthers and you could adopt a kid.
Yeah.
You don't even have to, I mean, you'll get a picture in the mail and
right.
Letters.
Yeah.
That's only like 55 cents a day or something stupid like that.
$9.40 a month. You can adopt a child and save them from wild lions.
So are you, you're probably rooting for a boy, right?
I'd imagine. Yeah. Shit, yeah. I mean, I would love to have any child at this point, but a girl doesn't necessarily guarantee my last name continues to live on. A boy does. That's what's important about having a male child that actually survives and succeeds past you, is that they can pass the family name on.
The legacy.
Yes, and it would be a legacy because Petersons are awesome.
How about Tiffany? Rooting for a girl?
I don't think she cares. She'd be happy just getting pregnant.
Yeah, just wants to get knocked up.
Well,
at this point,
you know. From me.
No, I'll try it.
No.
Help you out if you need it.
No, if it comes out swinging a baseball bat, I know something's wrong. It ain't my kid.
Speaking of baseball bats, Ray's kid just got a beautiful bat delivered to him.
Right.
His uncle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was pretty cool to see.
It's a little early for his birthday, but by the time his birthday comes around, his baseball season will be about over.
It's a sweet bat.
It's wooden. So, you don't see very many wooden bats getting used anymore.
Especially by 12-year-olds.
Right.
Right.
What's that color pattern for the bottom? Because that was crazy. It looks like a, if you can imagine for the listeners, like if you know what a tiger eye looks like, almost.
It's like flamed maple or something. Like they had to apply heat to it to get it to do that. Probably on a wood lathe, which is awesome.
Oh, you got some whiskey.
Well, there's a little bit there. You can help yourself.
Kessler.
It's pretty badass.
It is.
That sound, though. That there's the only thing better than that sound of a wooden bat and hitting the ball is a turkey gobble.
Or like a scream and drag line just pouring off a reel with a clicker on.
You weren't bullshitting about that pop, Adam. God damn.
I know it's awful. It's not even pop. Ugh. It's carbonated water that sort of tastes like strawberry. Ugh. I didn't buy it. My dad bought it.
It ruined the Kessler.
And oh no. How does that happen?
You guys want to try some of the sparkling water?
I have a fancy mustache. I have to do fancy things sometimes. I brought muscles to a turkey leg taco dinner.
Oh, we got to talk about that.
He's not talking about his tank top either. That's where 48 degrees out and he shows up in a tank top.
Full body tan, people. Full body tan.
Hey, don't feel bad, man. I got to cut off underneath this, but I bailed and had to put on a sweatshirt before I left.
When I get cold, I'll just cuddle up to you and it'll be better.
There we go. Turkey leg tacos. Awesome.
That shit was good.
It tastes like shit, doesn't it? Not the tacos.
It smells
bubbly.
Awful.
Yeah, it's gross. But yeah, those tacos were great. I thought very simple.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right?
That's horrible. Like
the whiskey's not great, but it's a lot it better on its own.
It might take us the entire episode to make it all the way through that.
I'm going to start drinking from the bottle here.
Dr. Pepper or Cherry Coke?
No. I have to live with this.
Bert's like, yeah.
We made a mistake. We made our bed. We're going
to
lay in it.
That's right. We're too proud as grown-ass men to... Right.
By the time that cup's gone, you won't even notice.
Well, when the cup gets empty, you can open a beer with it. So...
I don't know. Do we want to ruin our one cup? No. That cup's been around for a couple podcasts.
This is going to be like the... I cut the damn edge off it, the first podcast we used with it.
This isn't a Dixie. What is this?
I think it is. No, it's a Chinette.
Chinette. Shout out to Chinette.
Hey.
Durability, baby.
Quality products. Quality paper products.
This is probably the fifth podcast that's made it through. Well, it hasn't made it through yet, but it's made it through at least four.
We only use the finest Chinette paper cups.
And it's sometimes heavily used, so...
But those tacos, though. Back to the tacos.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. For those of you that just...
pat myself on the back for a minute.
Well, kill a wild turkey and breast it out and leave the rest of the turkey. You're missing a lot of potential because tonight we had turkey leg tacos made with 2/3 Bert taco meat and 1/3 Ray taco meat.
Now, you may be thinking, there's two legs per turkey.
It's not what I'm thinking.
Well, what happened?
What happened was...
Uh-huh.
Bert will tell you.
Well, long story short, you're going to have to listen to the 2019 turkey recap, but basically, long story short,
kind of depresses
Ray
me.
Shot one off of his turkey.
Got the bird, damn it. Got the bird.
He did.
He blasted it.
Yeah, it was. We're going to go back to that in a minute, that shot. But the legs, I was really surprised. I had to bone it out before I threw it in the crock pot because they're just too long. They wouldn't all fit.
Right.
And I got down, so like the bottom half of the drumstick towards the bottom. It looks like a deer shank, basically. Looks like a bunch of tendons and stuff, you know. No big deal. You're cooking in a crock pot, so I'm trying to take the knife and get right down to the bone and just take it all off, and I was going to throw it in there in one big chunk. But they're like those tendons are bony, man. Like, I can't even explain. Like, I thought I splintered the leg bone.
What I was saying is, like, it's only that way for wild turkeys. If you buy, like, a butterball from the grocery store, those are raised on a farm. They have a lot higher fat content, and they're not... so much used to running around roosting, all that kind of stuff, so their tendons don't tend to get hard like that. But a wild turkey will develop really tough tendons because they have to have those really tight leg muscles to get where they're going to do what they're doing. That's one of the major differences between a wild turkey and a store-bought turkey. They call it a butterball for a reason, because it's tender and delicious and juicy, and a wild turkey tends to be lean, tough, and gamey. That's just the nature of hunting them. But you found a way to turn the turkey legs into an absolutely delicious meal.
You need a couple legs to do it. Because really, that meat you see on the bottom half of the drumstick, I realize, I mean, there's really not a whole lot you can do with it. Because there's so many of those things. But, man, that was good. That was good. And there's still a lot of meat.
Oh, yeah.
With three legs, we probably... Shit, we still got a bunch left over. And there's was three really of good. Us just mowing down here for a minute, so...
I know I had at least two pretty good-sized burritos with it.
Me too.
So
I think I had three... Maybe cooked four.
It-ish,
yeah. We had some mussels too. How'd you cook those mussels?
Just garlic butter, real simple. You melt some butter in a pan. If you got parsley, you can put it in with it, and then you mince up some garlic, put it in the pan, and just let it simmer for a minute. Let the garlic cook into the butter, and then you throw the mussels in. Little cover on the pan, let them steam up a minute, and they're done.
They open done up when they open.
Yeah, and if you get the right ones, if they don't open, if they're farm raised and they're clean, even if they don't open, they're supposed to be okay still. You just have to open them yourself. But yeah, a good sign that they're done. It only takes a few minutes, really. The sign that they're done is when they actually do open up from the steam and release their inner goodness.
Before we get too far into this podcast, I hate to go way off subject, but I think I need to clarify something real quick, just because it's been bugging me. Remember that movie I was talking about on the last Drinking Beer and Talking Smart episode? And I was talking about Dennis Quaid. Probably not.
No.
All right. Well, I do, and it was bugging me. So that movie I was referring to is actually White Squall, and it's not Dennis Quaid. It's the dude. It's Jeff Bridges.
Really?
Yeah. So just badass, throwing that out there for those badass American actor. Like, what the hell are you talking about? So I wanted to get back to this turkey, though, because you were talking about how you blasted your turkey.
Yep.
You had to put a second shot.
Shot right in the face, and it fell. And it felt good about it.
That's true. 60 yards?
62. We didn't realize it was 67. We didn't realize it was that far.
I thought it was 67.
Was it 67?
I'm pretty sure it was 67.
That sounds even better than me.
What I wanted to ask you was if we 15 knew
feet.
We didn't realize it was that far. I thought it was close to 50, and that those third degrees are good up 250. And I knew what mine did at like 30, 35 yards of that bird.
Now,
I mean,
say,
he piled up, didn't even flinch.
When you say third degree, you're talking about the shell?
The shell, the Fretful shells, yeah. Yep. Which is, the you said, the model before the TSS or whatever?
That's a new model. The third degrees are the older.
Right, right.
The TSS is the newer version of that.
Right.
And what? How tight was the choke? Full choke?
It was full.
Okay. Yep.
Like I said, we didn't know he was that far, but if you would have known he was that far, would you pull that trigger? That's a tough question.
That is a tough question.
Because you wouldn't have got another shot.
Right.
I feel like that, you know, almost 70 yards, that's a long ways away to be shooting a turkey.
It got me thinking, man, because like I wonder if it would have made a difference if that turkey didn't put us through hell for an hour. Like if you would have been more patient and been like, I'm just going to let this one go.
Because I thought it was far when it was coming in, and I'm trying to let it get closer, and you're like, end it. Do it. Shoot it.
Because he was, I mean, there, I mean, he wasn't coming any
closer,
man.
Shoot him, shoot him.
But I could be wrong. I mean, he
shoot
might
him, Ray, shoot him.
We don't know.
Then I got excited because I let him go behind the tree and all that undergrowth and everything, right in that little island or whatever, the death trap.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he came around it, instead of going towards the woods, he turned towards us. And took about two or three steps toward us, and I'm like, come on.
Right.
Come on.
Right. Get closer. Get closer.
Bert's calling, calling. And then as soon as he turned to go into the woods, he's like, nah, I've had enough of this.
Right.
What'd you say?
Smoke his ass.
Smoke his ass. Boom. He was fanning everything, and then he just dropped the fan.
I'm
turned. And
forget
as soon
it,
as he
I'm
turned,
done.
Yeah, just aimed for his neck and pulled the trigger.
But that's tough, you know?
And he went down, but then he flopped. And then he was trying to get up.
And we always try to make an ethical, quick, clean
kill. Yeah, that's the nature of being
dream.
In the field, absolutely.
And everybody's got that itchy trigger finger, I guess. Like when you, especially like when you're turkey hunting like that, and it was like, it was an hour of hell. I mean, you got to listen to the episode if you haven't heard it yet. But I mean, there was high winds. I'm holding down a tent. Ray's got stuff falling on his head. And it was insane. It was a blast looking back on it. It was awesome.
And I couldn't move.
Right. But it just got me thinking, like, if it would have been a different scenario, I just wonder if we would have been like, nah.
That's too far, right? And that might have been the case, because those Jakes came in.
Well, that's funny.
Was it that day or the day before? Or was that Monday or Friday? That was Friday.
It was the same day.
It's the struggle that you go through hunting, you know, all the wanting and knowing that you have the ability to do something, but you can be as prepared as you can be. You can be in the right spot at the right time and just have the wrong stuff happen to you. And it's so frustrating because sometimes you don't get a shot. So to take that shot, even though it was that far away, you know, it may have been a risk. And like he said, if you knew it was that far away, maybe you wouldn't have took the shot, but you did. It worked out, sort of. And we got to eat one of the drums from it.
Both the breasts, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because those Jakes were really close. Yeah. But that wasn't the way I pictured it.
Right.
My first turkey. I'm like, no, I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't think
you could have ate them Jakes alive, man, and they were close.
I don't think I've ever had a hunt that I pictured the way that it was going to go. You always think about it, like how you want it to go and what you expect, and then you get out there and you just have to persevere through whatever happens in the meantime to make what you expect a reality, which ultimately is harvesting the game.
Yeah. So I turned around and asked Bert, I said, am I an asshole if I don't shoot one?
Right.
And I was cool with it. I mean, it was still in the morning. The way I looked at it, we had more time to hunt.
So right. It's just not the way I pictured this big old turkey coming out, fanning, you know.
Right, that far away.
And it worked out for the better.
Right.
It's just, how many experiences do you guys have with, like, pulling the trigger and stuff goes wrong?
Oh, too many.
Not just a miss. I'm talking like you hit him, but you don't find it.
Okay, that's actually the first deer I ever shot and ever found. And that's actually what set me up for not shooting a lot of deer throughout the rest of my career. I went through a deer depression for like 10 years. I hunted religiously. Every season I went out hunting. The first deer I shot was in a youth hunt. It was a spike. He came in at like 15, 20 yards. And I was shooting through a scope on a rifled barrel 12 gauge. And I had shot this gun before, but I was shooting at like 50 or 60 yards, not necessarily at 15 or 20. So I shot the deer right in the shoulder, knocked him down, thought I had the deer. There was a 4-point that came in behind him. And if I had waited, I probably would have shot the 4-point instead of the spike. As it was, the deer starts kicking, whatever. I go check on it, you know, run up to it. As I get close to it, the guy that I'm with is telling me, watch out, it's kicking all over the place. He doesn't want me to get hurt. And the deer gets up and runs away. And I try to shoot it twice. I'm not sure if I hit it either of those two times. And it hits an irrigation ditch and disappears. I don't know where the hell it went. And that haunted me for the rest of my career, up until a couple years ago, really, when I started killing deer again, because I just didn't have the confidence to pull the trigger. I would see deer all the time. I couldn't bring myself to shoot without knowing absolutely 100% for sure I was going to kill it, because I felt so bad about hurting that deer,
right,
and not finding it. And that just, it screwed with me for, like I said, you know, 10 years or better, until I finally got over it and was able, going out and seeing deer is one thing, but taking a shot that you're confident in is another. So
I've had some experience, for unfortunately, me and my brother both, usually in archery season. Anyway, but yeah, usually during archery seasons when that kind of thing happens for me anyway.
And a lot of that is also why I didn't decide to pick up a bow and try it, because I was so like, if I can't kill it with a shotgun from that close, what the hell chance do I have of flinging an arrow at something and actually doing well with it? I mean, I just, it knocked me down so much with my confidence right out of the gate that I had to get myself back up and eventually rebuild the fact that I could shoot straight, shoot well, kill things, and get the job done. But it took me a long time to get over that initial disappointment as a result. The second deer I shot was on a youth hunt the next year. It's funny. I got the deer mounted. It's a little bitty basket rack 10 point, and it came out at like 75 yards.
Little bitty 10 point. You don't hear that too often.
It's not real big. And it was running across the field like 75 yards. I had a smoothbore pump shotgun, a 12 gauge, and I shot it twice in the heart. Like as it's running, I shot two shots real close together and then ran up to it and dumped the rest of my gun into the back of its neck to make sure it didn't get away.
Ooh.
And then I had a hard time getting over that too. Because I felt bad for, I should have never shot at the deer. I made a couple good shots, but I don't know that it was it more luck than skill? I'd practiced a lot with my gun, but it's a smoothbore shotgun at 75 yards on a running target. You know, I had no business thinking I could get this deer, and I did. And
how old were you?
I think I was 15 at the time. Mm-hmm. I missed when I was 14, killed one when I was 15, and then went on like a 10-year dry spell just because it just seemed weird. It was unnatural for me to have that moment, even though I had killed that deer. I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself because of how I actually killed it.
Well, like wound loss and stories like we're telling now, like I think that's something a lot of professional hunters even have dealt with at some point or another. When you're younger, it's always like you seem like I was always bloodthirsty. I couldn't wait to pull that trigger.
Right.
You know, I was very impatient. It's like, you know, like I said, when you're younger, you go through that, and then you gradually, you know, you go from bloodthirsty teenager to conservationist.
Right.
You know, over time, it's like you get, I don't know, you just start thinking about things more.
Because you turned into quite like the deer management kind of specialist there for a minute, where you were, and you still are, you manage the herd of deer that you have on your property, where you know what ones you want to take out. You do your best.
But I quit doing that. I mean, honestly, because now, since doing this podcast, really, I've learned so much about genetics. There's a lot you can control, and there's a lot you can't control. And
right.
To me, I'm in harvest mode for meat 100% of the time when I'm in that tree stand. And I think when I start running those cams and I start looking at these deer real carefully,
you know where they're at whatever particular time, you know where they're going to be.
And I fall into a trap because that changes once hunting season starts. And then you're not seeing those giants that you were seeing all throughout September. So I'm not shooting deer that I should be shooting because I know that there's something bigger out there, and it just it's a head game, and I hate it. So I don't run them anymore. That's just where I'm at.
Don't shoot a deer shoot a deer on the first day that you wouldn't pass up on the last day, because you never know when you're going to get a chance to shoot them again. I mean, my luck.
I've had that happen quite a few times where I've had bucks come through, and I'm like, oh man, I could smoke them right now, but if I do that, then it's going to put blood everywhere. My scent's going to go everywhere. I'm going to blow my cover. Hunting's going to be screwed. So if I'm going to shoot something early, it's got to be big.
Right.
I've done that. I can't tell you how many seasons, and it bit me in the ass.
And that's an okay thing that's an okay way to feel, but it depends on how you're hunting, you know, what time of the season, what you're hunting with, and the property that you have, how much work you put into it, because it does all change. Like midway through October, usually early November, the rut hits. And mm-hmm. everything goes crazy. You just don't know what the deer are going to do, where they're going to go, and how it's going to be. So,
you know, and like a lot of people preach about the one buck rule. They want the one buck rule like Indiana has in Michigan.
Right.
I don't agree, because I love hunting the mature big animals. Don't get me wrong. I always save a tag for the big one. You know, I'll get doe tags galore if I can. I'll shoot my small buck, but I always save that one tag for the 8-pointer bigger that's going to be something, you know, top shelf buck. You know what I mean?
Hang up on the wall.
Something you put up on Facebook. You're like, yeah, look at this.
Right.
I love doing that. I love hunting mature animals for the challenge, but I'm out there to put meat in the freezer. So if I could only shoot one buck, I think that would screw with me big time.
You buy a combo tag, you can shoot two bucks.
That's what I'm saying, but if they went to the one buck rule,
right,
which they're not going to, it wouldn't affect me. I don't think that's anything we have to worry about. But for the people that vouch for that, I just don't agree.
Yeah, I told TJ that we were actually talking about that the other day, that I wouldn't have a problem with, you know, with my combo tag,
yeah,
killing does with it.
You don't get to eat the antlers.
I've on more than one occasion have used my unrestricted tag in my combo for a doe.
Right. That's what it's for.
With archery is the only way you can do that.
Right. Yep. Yep. We figured that out.
Yes.
You're welcome.
We had extensive email conversations and phone calls with the DNR.
Racks, fur, and feathers. Putting in work.
But, shit, what were we talking about? The combos.
Yep. Using the doe tag only in archery season. But that's
something I was going to say right before that. I forgot. Damn it. Go ahead.
I kill a lot of does because they eat, you know. I try not to take super young deer. Sometimes it happens if I get towards the end of the season. Last couple of years I've shot some pretty small deer, but to be honest with you, the small deer are the most tender.
This is what I was going to say, was that, you know, I listened to my dad talk about all the time how, you know, back when he was a kid, yeah, gross, right?
That's awful.
Back when he was a kid, if you saw a deer track, you went and got people so they can come check it out. Like, deer were just weren't around like they are now. It goes from that to, we got it so damn good that people can just wait for that Boone, that Boone and Crockett buck.
Thank you, Michigan DNR.
Yeah, they've done an outstanding job.
That's the point of the tags and the seasons and all that stuff.
But it just amazes me that we went from, you know, in a span of 60 years.
Well, it's like back in the 70s, there used to be pheasants. Yeah, but 50 years ago in the 70s, there used to be pheasants. There's no pheasants now in the wild. You can't get a fair chase pheasant. I mean, coyotes have moved in, raccoons, every other predator animal that would eat an easy to catch bird like that has wiped out the wild pheasant population.
That, and we found a lack of fence lines.
Oh, yeah. That's too much farming.
Habitat loss.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm just saying, the one buck rule like Indiana has, which is really... put a damper on. And that's another thing too. I was thinking, like, okay, so like there's ticks carry Lyme disease.
True.
We all know that. But,
true story.
Some of you might not know. Most of you probably do. There's a new tick, the Lone Star tick, if I'm correct.
I think you're
where
right.
Where you develop an allergic reaction to red meat. You heard
I've
of this?
Not heard never of this. Nope. Breaking news on Racks, Fur, and Feathers.
You guys,
there's a Lone Star tick. No.
What's it called?
I think it's called the Lone Star tick.
Research Ray.
Just say ticks, red meat allergy. We'll figure out which one it is, but...
Texting the wife.
Oh, I thought you were searching.
No, I was texting the wife.
Are you texting or are you searching?
No, I'm searching now.
Okay. But how bad would that screw up your hunting if you can't eat meat? That's the whole reason I'm out there.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Let's go to Wikipedia and figure this thing out.
Yeah?
Because I just read a little blurb about it.
You can hunt mushrooms.
Yay!
Amblyomma... Americanum.
That's my great aunt's name.
Also known as the Lone Star tick, the northeastern water tick, or the turkey tick, is a type of tick indigenous to much of the eastern United States and Mexico that bites painlessly and commonly goes unnoticed, remaining attached to its host for as long as 7 days until it is fully engorged with blood. Let me see. Just read a thing about symptoms here. Meat allergy. The bite of the Lone Star tick can cause a person to develop alpha-gal meat allergy, a delayed response to non-primate mammalian meat and meat products. The
non-primate
allergy,
meat?
That's what it says.
Like you can eat monkey and you're fine?
This is Wikipedia. This isn't my... I have no idea. I'm just a messenger. I'm not endorsing any of this.
I'm about to quiz you like you wrote it, so be prepared for that.
The allergy manifests as anaphylaxis, a life-threatening allergic reaction characterized by constriction of airway and a drop in blood pressure. Basically, like anaphylactic shock where you can't breathe and you end up dying. Hmm. I've heard of it. I don't know.
I'm still stuck on the monkey meat, Adam. Continue.
Oh, this will get good. This response is triggered by an IgE antibody to the mammalian oligosaccharide galactose alpha 1,3 galactose, which is just...
I am so impressed. You
summarized as alpha-gal.
Hmm. Hello, lady. You going to have some turkey tacos?
She just wants the cheese.
You should. Just even if you just grab a pinch.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
And try it. It's surprised me. It's really good.
Ooh. As well as occurring in non-primate animals, alpha-gal is found in cat dander. The allergic reaction occurs 3 to 6 hours after consuming red meat, unlike allergic reactions to other foods whose onset following consumption is more or less immediate, making it more difficult to identify what caused the reaction. You may just think you ate some bad meat and got sick, but no, you got bit by a tick and didn't know it.
That'll fuck up your day real
Sorry.
Quick. So, Mr. Wikipedia.
Yes.
How come you can eat monkey meat?
I don't know. Shit. Can you eat monkey meat?
That's basically what it said, right?
Non-primate mammalian, yeah. No, non-primate would...
be not a primate.
Right. I don't know. I'm confused and I just don't like ticks, so... Bottom line, Deepwood's off. Everywhere. Stay tick-free. That's the way to be.
Yeah, man, I went down to Brandywine Sunday. I was supposed to meet you, actually, down at Pucker Street,
right.
But imagine that. It was raining. Again.
No kidding. Has it been wet lately? I haven't noticed.
Weird. How much did it rain today? I don't know. It started at 2 o'clock in the morning last night. And
it was steady raining till 3:30, 4.
Yeah, so I feel like we live in Seattle.
It's like topsy-turvy world. Last year was really bad with rain, too, but this year is getting up
there.
Like
I said, last year it was like, we're just going to give you 5 feet of rain in 2 days.
Right.
And then everything was screwed up for months. But this is like... we're just going to give you 1/2 inch to 3/4 inch every day for 5 months.
And this is like that slow death rain. Just
right. The crops still aren't in by my parents' house as of Tuesday.
And the fields that they have planted.
Which is
going
to screw my hunting up all over again.
Mm-hmm. The fields that they have planted are getting flooded, so the crops aren't going to be worth anything in those fields either. It's just a bad year to be a farmer.
Or a hunter that depends on the farmers to get their shit planted.
Yeah, I've noticed like usually this time of year on my trail cams I'll have... you know, herds of deer back there coming in all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Now it's just one at a time. Looks like one doe and one buck that come in at different times of the day.
What do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't know if it's, I think it's because I'm not baiting because I can't bait anymore.
So that you're just catching rain
but you're
does,
trying
or?
Something new. Like I seen you got the grass growing pretty tall back there. You're just letting it go this time, which I think that'll help you out a little bit. Get some natural, like some chicory and stuff growing on.
Right.
There's one hell of a branch leaning down there. Was it just because it's wet that it's leaning down that far?
Yeah, that cherry tree.
That's the same
it
one.
It kind
of
uprooted in one of the storms, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's leaning right over the...
I was going to say, that was pretty damn low. And the fallout, that might work out.
I'm hoping.
I don't know how often they eat the cherries off a wild cherry tree.
Tom Cruise feels about it, but maybe God's trying to help me out.
I'd bet money you're right, as opposed to following Scientology.
Yeah, don't you get a new pair of shoes or something when you join Scientology?
I don't know. I think you legally get declared crazy.
I think like you get the... I don't know. Bill Burr said something about it. You get a new pair of shoes and get to ride on a rocket ship when you join.
I don't know. I feel like we're touching a subject we shouldn't here. We need all the Scientology fans we can get. Listen to our podcast. Download it. Tell your friends about it.
Oh, yeah. Your blue squirrel, man.
Haven't seen him. No.
Oh, besides... yes, you did. You did get a picture. That's right. That's
yeah,
why I put it in
he
my
was
notes.
Real far away. You could kind of see it. I mean...
you could tell there was a squirrel in your yard, but the color... it looked different, but you couldn't tell it was the blue.
Blue, yeah.
Because you zoomed in, it was kind of pixely.
Yeah, and it... because I got shamed on this show for not taking a picture of it, I did my best to zoom in and get it.
I'm the worst at that.
But he's legal beagle, though, because he didn't shoot it.
I don't even think about it.
But I haven't seen it since. I do have Baltimore Orioles now that are in one of the trees in my front yard. Like, I see them all the time. I never used to see them before. And they have a unique sound to them when they sing, and they're just beautiful birds.
They are. They're cool to watch.
I was arguing with my aunt about that because she's talking about the Orioles, and I'm like, she's old. I'm like, you sure it wasn't a red-winged blackbird?
No,
like, maybe
no, you could definitely tell.
Yeah, Orioles are very.
She's like, no, red-winged blackbirds.
The males are absolutely
Orioles
gorgeous.
Are this.
Yes, they are. They're bright, but they're smaller than I thought they'd be.
All right, you're right, lady.
They're like, they're not as big as a robin. They're a lot smaller, so when you see one, you're like, what the heck? And then it takes me a minute looking at it to realize that's a Baltimore Oriole. There's no other bird that's bright orange with black wings, and it's just really cool.
I think they're pretty neat. My dad's got something eating off his Oriole feeder lately. He was just showing me yesterday. It's nothing fancy. It's like a medium-sized bird, bigger than an Oriole, smaller than a robin.
Okay.
Gray, just plain gray. Dull, but then its tail on the bottom side is like an orange, but like a dull orange. There's a bunch of them flying around. He said they just showed up out of nowhere. And they've been
weird.
A lot of it.
I got
listeners, if you know what that is.
Yeah, let us know.
I mean, I could ask Google, but what fun is that?
Not as fun as Wikipedia.
Right. Or you guys getting a hold of us and letting us know.
Right.
Bird experts out there.
I'm still not a doctor.
Still not?
I'm working on it, though.
Yeah?
A lot of Wikipedia.
I know. You know what ruined Wikipedia for me is when I found out that anybody can go in and change anything.
Yeah. There are people that do weird things on Wikipedia, like change articles just for fun. And they just let it happen until they catch it. And it's the nature of the website.
Makes it not credible. Which, oddly enough, whenever you type in, like, what's the meaning of X or, like, what is whatever, it's usually Wikipedia that pops up for, like, the first search result.
It's like the empirical source of internet wisdom.
And everybody's like, it's Wikipedia. How can it be wrong?
Well, obviously, these people knew what they were talking about. And this guy's named Bugsy McBugsy. He's clearly an expert.
What else we got?
Did you catch any fish on Sunday? Because you went fishing in the rain. When I went to walk out the house, it started pouring. And I was like, you know what? Forget this.
He texted me. I said, I would if the weather was a little better.
Right.
I was so pissed. I got down there, got hooked up with my worm, threw it in the water. And as soon as that line hit the water, it started raining. And it didn't stop.
That
sucked. I was down there.
It was a miserable rain on Sunday. It was a steady rain. And then whenever you wanted to actually do something outside, it got to be like a harder steady rain.
And to answer your question, I caught one decent sized bluegill, a little dinker. He went back, and then a rock bass that I kept for a minute.
For a minute,
took him off the stringer and threw him back.
Okay,
and I was like, I'm gonna go down to the creek and I'm gonna catch me some trout,
which turned out to be.
And I felt guilty about not going down to Brandywine. Like I feel like me and the creek had like a relationship. You know what I mean?
I feel like I've been cheating on her
going down to Pucker Street. So I was like, hey, I'm gonna pay the old girl a visit. You know. Man, but anyway, where I was getting at was I had that big bluegill
taking
and that
all
rock
my fish
bass
out of my corner.
Right.
Right.
I'm going to catch all the big ones and leave.
And that that rock bass wasn't that big. I didn't feel like messing with it. So I threw him back. But the day before, I was catching. It was one of them days, man. Sucker.
Yeah.
Sucker. Right. Sucker. Every cast. It's weird how it is down there, Pucker, using the same bait, same setup, everything. Cast in the same spot. And
you'll catch
every
four
day,
different species of.
Well, yeah, one day you'll catch everything. Bass, brown trout.
Right.
Sucker. I mean, whatever, walleye, whatever's down there. And then the next day it's like, all you're catching is suckers.
Well, that was
the next day all you're catching is brown trout.
Right. That was the plan for us going down there to begin with on Sunday, is that we were going to try to catch a bunch of suckers and keep them for pickling and
smoking.
Because
the day before, like, I caught a bunch of them and I just couldn't bring myself to do it. It was
right.
I think, you know, I
well,
I
your neighbor
like
was
with
you and it was embarrassing. And I
what
understand.
Was it?
Your neighbor, the guy that lives next door to you, was there with you fishing. I stopped down on Saturday and you caught a sucker that happened to have a mustache. Caught a succostachio.
Another one.
Yeah. Yeah. It was,
did we ever figure out what species that was?
No.
Nah, we suck. But yeah, I couldn't bring myself to do it. So then, just because I didn't feel like messing with them really. And then the next day, I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to catch all these suckers and bring them home.
And we're going to pickle them. We're going to smoke them. We're going to smoke them while we pickle them.
And then
who knows?
My Sunday did not go as planned.
Right.
I was like, I'm going to sleep in. It's going to be great. I'm going to wake up. Sun's going to be shining. I'm going to mow the lawn. Get that out of the way.
Not the case.
When I first roll out of bed, for starters, I'm going to have a notification from iTunes saying that our podcast posted exactly the way it was supposed to. Everything went smooth. Mow the lawn, then go fishing.
Right.
In the sunshine and catch 22-inch brown trout all day long. Yeah. I woke up, it was pouring down rain, freezing at 7 o'clock for whatever reason. And our episode that was supposed to post at 6 o'clock did not. I'm not even going to get into those details, but it took me till 11 o'clock to figure that out. Then I couldn't mow the lawn because it was raining. No big deal. I win. Go down the Pucker Street.
Sure. Nope. Or take a nap.
Yeah. No, just rain its ass off. Went down to the Brandywine Creek, though. That was a mess. I had my boots and jeans on because I was down at Pucker Street, so
right.
I wasn't suited up to get in the water. And it was wet and grown up since the last time I've been down there. Because I've been cheating on my old girl.
Full snakes.
No, not probably. Full of snakes, but probably. But it was full of bugs.
DMX said, if you don't cut the grass, you can't see the snakes.
Oh, damn. That's getting deep, brother.
That's real advice.
Real talk.
He was on Dr. Phil explaining it. No, wait. That's Ja Rule.
No,
that's Ja Rule.
That's what I said.
But yeah, I caught two decent-sized brown trout.
You sent me a picture of the one.
Fairly
was like
quickly.
The second cast, you said, or?
first cast, and then it was a couple casts later. Cost
coming. Nice. But nice.
Getting back to where I needed to get to.
Not so much fun.
A war is pretty fitting, and it was a.
Now, since it's all grown up, does that mean it's also full of ticks?
Oddly enough, I didn't have a single tick on me.
You got lucky. That area is bad for ticks.
Mm-hmm.
Very bad.
Yeah, it was. It's usually pretty. But yeah, nothing. I got soaking wet. I got the mosquitoes were like damn hummingbirds. It was ridiculous, man. And swarms of them. I mean, I had bug spray on, and it was holy shit. Like in my nose, in my mouth, my ears.
Let's talk about those certain mosquitoes that don't care about bug spray. Because inevitably, when I put bug spray on, it always helps. Because I'm like a mosquito magnet if I don't have it.
What do you use?
Deep Woods Off. The highest concentration of DEET.
You use that Coleman stuff, right? That 100%
DEET. It's 98% DEET.
It's 98?
Yeah. Are you using 45 or using 98?
No, I think it's usually 40 or 45.
Yeah, you got to get that 98.
I bought like a squeeze bottle of Repel. It's like Ultra 100, whatever. It's pretty much 99% DEET and whatever they put in it to make it liquid. Mm-hmm. And that stuff works really good, but it also changes your shoes colors and melts paint.
Oh, yeah. It kills your grass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Bad.
So I imagine what it does to your body when you let it soak in. But
I was actually looking up the chemical name for that the other day to try to see if we could get it from one of our suppliers through work and, like, you know, buy gallons of it or something.
Right.
I'm like, I wonder if it's cheaper instead of going down and buying this little, you know, 2 ounce bottle for fucking, for 10 bucks.
Call your buddies over with a 99 cent spritz bottle. If I can get like a, out of your 55 gallon drum. For,
if I can get
I'm telling you, that stuff does make
32 ounce sample or something.
If you're camping and you don't like, you go to bed without taking a shower or something, and you put that stuff on the night before, it feels weird the next day.
It's kind of like being by a campfire. Like
it's known to cause cancer in California, too, by the way.
Only in lab rats.
Wait, wasn't it California that just outlawed the declawing of their cats?
Probably. It seems
Did you hear about that?
No.
I don't even watch the news, but I catch like bits and pieces of this
How
weird
do you know
news.
All this weird, obscure information?
I have no idea.
I've never heard of Little Bub.
Back to Little Bub.
Hey, it's an adorable cat.
My cat's turning. He was adorable. Now he's kind of a pain in the ass.
Is he outside yet?
Kind of in and out. We're trying to like
That's
wean
a
him.
No.
Yeah. Is he still pissing?
Because Cassie is terrified that he's just going to take off and not come back. I'm like, this cat is addicted to people, man. This thing needs to get outside sooner than later.
I'm going to tell you a story my grandpa told me one time.
Uh-oh.
The best fox bait you can get comes from a cat about the age of the cat that you have.
Oh, yeah?
You got to kill it and then cut it up into like 1-inch cubes and put it in a mason jar and bury it in a field full of sand. Let the sun beat on it for like 2 weeks. And then when you open the jar, after you dig it up, you have the best fox bait scent you could ever want. They'll come into it from miles.
Besides the fact that that's fairly disturbing.
Well, but I hear that as a 12-year-old. Like, my grandpa's always been awesome.
But so. Foxes are, I mean, I would say the most feline of the canine species.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The sneakiest.
Yeah.
Well, they're light.
Like, and when you, they smell like a skunk. A lot of people don't know that either. Like if you smell really strong skunk, don't rule out the fact that there could be
a Bigfoot near
or something nearby.
A Bigfoot. The skunk ape.
Skunk ape.
The Sasquatch.
Yeah. I found that out when I was trapping.
Yeah.
Popsy actually told me that, but
I've heard they don't have a pleasant smell. I've never been close enough
when
to
they, and they
to
bury. Yeah. They bury
their
shit
food.
Like a cat.
Yeah. They definitely pack food up.
I could be wrong in the burying the shit.
No, Milo. Have up. You ever watched Milo Notice?
Yes.
That fox definitely took something and buried it. So he can come back for it later. And that's, I believe, how Otis got some food. He dug
Otis
up.
Was the pug.
Yes, I think. I think it was either him or the cat dug up what the fox had buried and ate it.
They talk like this.
A little bit.
A little bit then.
Milo, where are you, Milo? It was actually made by a bunch of Japanese people, if you read the credits. Great movie, by the way. If you have kids, please play them a VHS version of Milo and Otis. Very special. You get to see a pug giving birth. It's neat.
Right up there with pike attacks.
Yeah, that's
well, yeah, no, actually, speaking of pike attacks, the cat learns how to catch fish putting its tail in an ice.
Was it Little Bub?
No, it wasn't Little Bub. It was an orange tabby cat.
So what does Little Bub do? Just stare into the camera then?
Pretty much sometimes purr. It just has its tongue hanging out of its mouth with those great big
It just looks like
somebody stepped on the back of the cat real hard.
Right. Special
his
needs.
Eyeballs and his tongue out.
Yeah, it's like one of them little squeeze, like stress relief dolls you can squeeze and their eyes pop out and their nose pops out or whatever and their tongue pops out. It's kind of like that with his eyes and his tongue. And it's just a real special cat.
So people get on YouTube to just stare at this cat.
You should try it. It's therapeutic.
It doesn't sound therapeutic at all. Not even one bit.
Yeah, it's probably not.
Did you guys see the draft post that WNDU put on Facebook like 3 days ago by any chance?
No.
This lady, she kills a giraffe over there in Africa.
Right.
Whatever. I didn't even read the article. I didn't have to. It's always the comments that I love reading because all the antis get on there and they have all sorts of interesting things to say that'll make you laugh.
You can hunt giraffes?
I've got a story about that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, a lot of people don't know that. And so they're like, oh, it's despicable, you know, this and that, you know, the usual anti-rhetoric. But what they don't get is, you know, a lot of these
nuisance
male giraffes, when they get old enough, that they turn into bullies. I mean,
right.
they'll kill the babies, you know, so they need to take them out to help out the population. So instead of having whoever just come out and kill it, they'll have, you know, an American come out and pay $10,000-$20,000 that goes to these villagers to guide him on a hunt to go kill the damn thing, and he can't fly the meat back, so usually all the meat goes right back into the village, and they have a working economy through that, you know?
Right? Yeah,
and it helps
and it's
out
conservation.
It's conservation. It goes to help out the species.
And in a lot of areas over there, there's not the industry to generate revenue, so they get a lot of their help from these sponsored hunts or hunts where people pay big bucks to go hunt these nuisance animals, and it helps everybody out. I'd eat giraffe. I'd eat the hell out of giraffe.
And I'm sure they do. I mean, I'm sure, like, while they're there.
That back strap.
Oh, man. Oh, giraffe. My. That neck roast.
You need a lot
neck
of packets
roasts.
Of Lipton tea.
I mean, you... Giraffes are weird, right? Like, Joe Rogan talks about it all the time. Like, he's like, that's the one... I think he did a bit about it, actually, on one of his comedy specials. You know, giraffes are the one animal at the zoo that they let a three-year-old feed.
Right.
You know, and pet. Like, it's not...
They're docile and, like, but they don't go after people.
But the thing is, you know, in these situations, these things, it's just like, you know, grizzly bears, and I've heard about, for instance, doing the same thing. You know, they, the males get old and they turn into the tough guys on the block, the Debos, if you will. And,
well, lions do it too. They grow up.
Right.
They leave.
That's the point of male lion owning a pride, is that he doesn't let any other male lion exist that isn't one of his. So if the other females
takes over, he goes in, beats the
other lion leader, beats whatever, Mufasa or whatever.
Which is, I mean, that helps get that natural dispersal, but at the same time, like...
So then he kills all the pups.
And, yeah, all the babies.
Well, like, in like the instance of the giraffe, I could be making this up, I don't know, but I would venture to guess that it's a big deal because they're not as fecund. Like, they don't have babies as often as you know, like once a year, like deer do. Like, it might be every other year.
Right.
So, I mean...
How often do giraffes have litters?
I don't know, and I'm sure it's not a litter. I'm sure they have, like, one.
One? Probably.
You know, I mean,
that'd be a weird
I don't know,
thing to see.
But that's a big animal, so I'm sure it's not squirting out two or three.
I don't know. Did you ever see that Skittles commercial where that Jamaican guy's, like, milking the giraffe and giraffes eating the rainbow?
Yes.
It's pretty funny.
But yeah, like, that goes on all over Africa.
Right.
And, like, it just kills me because, like, I made a comment similar to what I just said on here that, you know, that's what happens, believe it or don't. I'm not an expert, but here you go. This other lady gets on there and it was like, have you ever been to Africa? Like, what's your source? Have you ever been to Africa?
Statistics and facts.
Like, so you have to be there for something to be true now? Like,
I mean, yeah.
Or have had experience in something for something to be factual?
Right.
Antis, they really get under my skin sometimes, and it's really hard to keep myself from lashing out.
I was arguing with a lady at work about deer hunting. You actually shoot them? Like, yeah, me
can.
And Greg Hover, he owns a bunch of farmlands and gravel pit and all this shit, and he's like, they're a nuisance, you know, for the crops.
Oh, yeah.
They tear his crops up.
Absolutely.
He's like, we take out every deer we can just to keep it out of the crops. That's our livelihood.
And in farms like that, you can get like a block permit.
I'm like,
to hunt,
do you have a mouse trap in your basement? And she's like, yeah. Like,
what's
the same concept? She's like, no, deer are cute.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. You don't want me killing deer because they're cute, but you don't give a shit about a mouse.
Right. Does she eat the
mice
she kills?
It's the same concept. Right.
I don't want to interrupt, but it's the same. Like it's right. Weird. Like people have no problem
poisoning. Yep.
Setting out poison right. for rats and mice. And,
nuisance animals.
Right. But you have these I forgot who coined this phrase, but charismatic megafauna. You know, like these animals that are
just too cute to kill.
Or... I guess. It's like what's the difference? Why is that mouse's life worth any less than that deer's life? Explain that to me.
Did you hear about you guys know who Granger Smith is? Country
yes.
singer. His son died. He drowned.
No, I didn't.
He lost his son. I think it was last week. And I was reading about that, and it was a tweet or whatever, and underneath his original tweet about his son passing away was a woman that literally said, if you didn't spend all your time hunting and killing all the animals around you, maybe your son would still be alive. It's just funny how that works out or whatever. And I thought how absolutely ridiculous it is to compare like a human life to an animal life in that situation by degrading him for being a hunter.
There's so many things wrong with that I don't even know where to start.
It made me so mad. And I got on there and there was like...
Those three deer would have pulled him out of the water if you wouldn't have shot
him
last year.
Well, no, she made the comment like, well, it's kind of funny that you spend your time killing things and then when your son dies, it's not, you know, it's a big deal. It's the same thing. And I'm like, you can't equate...
That's messed up.
Yeah.
Right. Well, but those antis revert to that kind of...
I know, and it doesn't make any sense.
Time. And like that's where I get frustrated because there is... I might have talked about her before on this show. Her name's Linda. She and her husband own Sawmill Freak Bait and Lures. She had a big thing with some antis. She's a trapper. Trappers. You know, they do the grip and grids. Have I talked about this before? I feel like I have.
Yeah. Yeah. The grip and grid, you grab it.
No, I'm talking the Linda story. With.
Oh, no. You've never mentioned this before.
Okay. So, you know, trappers, you know, how hunters kind of hold the deer up by the antlers, they sit behind it. Turkeys, you got the fan. Trappers, a big thing they like to do is take pictures with the animal alive in the trap, in a foothold or whatever, and they're sitting in front of it and somebody else snaps a picture. Perfectly normal. I see it all the time on all the social media outlets. One of the antis got a hold of one of those pictures, and I mean, she was put all over all these anti groups, these anti pages. People were texting her, threatening to kill her family, kill her. How would you like it if we did that to you, put you in a trap, like some nasty? It was bad. It was. I mean, yeah, if I recall, I thought there was a point where she actually had to the actual business page for their company. She had to just shut it down.
You know what I've never seen as a hunter?
She brought it back up and everything's running smooth now. But I mean, she literally had to shut it down for a little while because it was, I mean, they were.
I've never seen a hunter get mad over a vegan. Like, I've never seen somebody get pissed that somebody's digging up a carrot or eating a potato or whatever. Because
here's the thing, the vegans, and this is where I agree with Mr. I'm drawing a blank right now, Mr. Rock City.
Talking about Ted? Uncle
yes,
Ted?
Yes, Uncle Ted. Jesus Christ. I don't know how I drew a blank on that.
Ted Nugent, folks.
Rice. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going well.
All right. This will be fun to edit.
Right. I forgot what I was going to... Ted Nugent. Oh, the vegans. Yeah, I mean, they're the biggest killers out there, man. I mean,
yeah,
how many moles, mice, how many vultures do you see circling these fields when the tractors are out?
Well, that's the thing, too. There's actually science that proves that plants feel pain and react to pain in certain ways. Like, when you chop the top off a carrot, that carrot's crying. Legit.
It's like, it is.
I saw that movie, yeah. Salsa's party. No.
I'm just saying, it's a real thing. They've actually proven that plants do feel pain and have emotions and feel a particular type of way about being dug up and killed. The same way the animals would, I would imagine, except...
I feel like we should take mushrooms and continue this conversation.
Oh, no. 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 No, but it's you can't justify one thing and accept another when it's the same standard that you're trying to decide one's bad for that you let the other one buy with. You know, it's hypocritical. Which really is how most arguments are from people like that.
But, and
like you were saying, like, how can you call yourself a vegan when you have to kill 30 different animals to get your crops
to
grow?
Is vegan and vegetarian the same thing, or are they different?
It's not.
No, vegetarian are people that only eat vegetables. they'll eat some meat byproducts if they're like soy or whatever.
Like the tofu.
Yeah. Vegans are the ones that are strictly like, don't mess with any of it. Don't use animal byproducts. Don't have a leather belt. They won't have like leather shoes or a leather jacket. They refuse to use any part of the animal. Vegetarians are just people that eat vegetables specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vegans are the more hardcore.
I mean, more power to you. If that's what you want to do.
It's great that people put their energy into doing that stuff. But
the way I look at it, for something to live, something else has to die. Life eats life. That's just the way the shit
is. You know, it's
just the way it works.
That's why we're the alpha species, too, is that we actually have the brain capacity to understand that that's how things are, where other animals don't. Everything is a predator in one way or another. Everything has to eat to live. It's just a matter of what you're willing to accept as food, and what you want to complain about is not fair to the animal or whatever. But everything has to eat to consume other things to stay alive.
It's weird, but people don't. All right, so like the cliff swallows?
Yeah.
Or barn swallows, whatever you want to call them. I'm not sure which ones we have around. The little blue ones that are flying all over the carports and at the apartment complexes and stuff.
I used to work at a quarry, and they would actually dig holes in the high bank to make nests in, like, great big swaths of holes.
But it's so cool when you watch these things. At work, we have carports everywhere.
Yeah.
And they'll nest up in there, and it's so fascinating to me. I will just sit there for as long as I can get away with sometimes, just watching these things eat the bugs out of the sky, man. It's insane. Watching them dive bombing it, but like I'm thinking, like, that's just an all-out slaughter happening right now, right in front of my eyes. And it's like, but nobody pays any attention to it because it's on such a small scale.
It's survival. It's just natural.
Moving back to the antis, I mean, they're not they're not all vegans.
No,
they're not all vegetarians.
No, I mean, absolutely a lot
but
of
do
them
they understand what, when they go and buy beef?
That's what I'm saying. Like
from the deli and their milk.
Well, no, they
understand the conditions
they get responsibly.
Some of those cows live in and how they're treated.
Responsibly sourced, organic
and on that,
sources.
Compared to the wild animals that were shooting, killing,
that
eating.
That lived a life.
Right.
Exactly.
That have never had a hormone put in their body.
Never been penned up, beat up, abused.
Ag gag laws. I just wanted to throw that out there. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just don't want to lose that because that's pretty important. You should Google that, people. I mean, it's a real thing. Like, you get too far into it, but I know, like, you can't take cell phones or anything in, like, any commercial farms.
Right.
To take videos or pictures or anything because
it's supposed
so bad.
To. Yeah. But that's why there's those people that show up at, like, when they have to load up the chickens from the chicken farm to send to the butchery or whatever. There's those people that stand in front of the bus. And
every time I think about how they live, the first thing that comes to mind is Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, God.
Where he's at the chicken farm. He's taking them in and out of the cages. I don't know why that's the first thing I think of, but you see, that's really what it is, man. They're just like shoved in these tiny cages, and that's that. Pigs.
It works. I mean,
it's efficient. Don't get me
wrong. It's not the prettiest thing in the world, but the people that make money on it, you know, if you raise a pig from a piglet up to an adult and then have to get it slaughtered, you're hoping to get as much money as you can per pound for the pig, so it serves a better purpose to be more efficient growing the pig in a smaller area so you can grow more pigs to the same size or bigger.
It's extremely efficient. I don't think anybody argues that. It's just a matter of, is it humane? You know,
right.
I
mean, well,
the antis, they don't, like you said, not all of them are vegans, and I don't think a lot of them even think about that for a second.
Right.
My mother-in-law is one of those people.
You should buy your meat at the store.
She's not even an anti. Like, we've gotten Barb to try quite a bit of wild game, especially lately. She's tried the wild turkey. We've talked her into a couple things.
Oh, yeah, rabbit.
And she's the pheasant. She's loved all of it. But it's, yeah, I forgot she tried the rabbit.
It does drive me crazy when people say, if you want meat, go to the store and buy it. Well, what the hell do you think? How'd that meat get there? I mean, somebody had to kill something to
and
put
I
this on the shelf.
It's not some free-range fucking cow just walking around in the woods. And
no.
Those cows cost to the fullest, and then all of a sudden one day it gets shot and it's dead.
Kobe beef.
Like I said, like when we talked about wound loss and all that stuff earlier, and like, I mean, that's heartbreaking, but I mean, that's just part of the game.
But it's not even close.
But yeah, I was going to say it. I mean, it is what it is.
Farm products, beef and whatever you buy in the store, what that's been through.
When everything goes right, it's perfect. You know, you shoot it through the lungs. I mean, it's dead usually within a minute or two.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't even know what the hell happened. I've seen videos of bucks getting shot through both lungs and come back to the decoy.
Right. And yeah. That's more hormones though, isn't it? Like that's
adrenaline, whatever you want to call it, but It's just, it's not, I mean, people think they got shot and oh my God, it's this excruciating. I mean, nobody knows what it's like to get shot with an arrow and die. Nobody hit this table anyway.
Right.
You know, but so we don't know what they feel. We don't know what it's like. But from what I've seen, when everything goes right, it doesn't look like it's that terrible. But
have you seen videos of hog hunting with dogs?
Yeah, it's rough.
That is killing.
But they tear it apart.
In all caps. I mean, that shit is. That's savage. Brutal. Have you ever seen it? You're looking at me like.
I have seen a couple big, I don't know if they were pits. They looked bigger than pits, but
yeah,
they had one cornered in the water.
It's and the noises that come out of that, man.
Oh, it's rough. It's not good.
That's rough. And that's what scares me. We accept it for what it is.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily something I want to be a part of or do.
Right.
But I'm not going to look down on somebody that wants to do it or does do it. It just is what it is.
That's
a lot of people run coyotes with dogs.
I'd love to do a hog hunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Or even dogs, mountain lions raccoons. Know,
like people run bears with dogs. That's right. A lot different. They're treeing the bear.
Right.
People run coyotes with dogs. So I'm a member of a certain page on one of the social media outlets there. And it's I see a lot of people bitching at one another when they put a picture on and it's got the dogs with the teeth on it.
Right.
Or there's a picture with blood on it. And it's always the same thing. Like, dude, there's people, like, if anybody finds this, that it's an anti, like, we're done.
Right.
Like, they'll shut us down. And, like, I've seen what they did to Linda. And, like, I get it. Like, you just got to be careful about what you share, you know. And, like, unfortunately. And, like, those hog hunts, you type that into YouTube. And there's, I mean, you can watch videos all day long of that stuff. And those antis get that. And I think they have that image in their head for everything. Deer hunting, bear hunting, squirrel hunting, you name it. It's just a brutal slaughter is the way they picture everything. Not how
it actually is.
The clean, efficient.
Right. Respectful way.
Right.
Like I said, hunters don't usually condemn non-hunters. It's usually the other way around. It's the people that don't do it that try to make the people that do it feel bad. And it's just a ridiculous double standard.
Yeah. I don't like it when you see, like, on these Facebook groups and stuff, hunters getting on hunters, other hunters.
Right. We're on the same team.
Right,
man.
Same team, Farva. Come on. How you doing, man? I don't know, man. We're just rambling at this point.
I know. But we wrap it up.
I think we should.
Is it getting fun?
All right, everybody. We shall talk to you next time.
Good night. Or day.
All right, that's it. As always, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to share us on any and all social media outlets. Next week, we're going to be sitting down with Freddie Canfield, hopefully. His schedule's kind of goofy lately, so we'll see what happens. But we're going to try to sit down with him later next week and talk all about our fundraiser and fishing. So keep your ears to the ground for that. As always, all music and artwork is done by the Shane Yoder from PutThemInASong.com on the Root Note Podcast. If you guys have any questions, comments, criticism, please throw them at us at Raxfur and Feathers at gmail.com. Look us up on Twitter at RFF Podcast, Instagram Raxfur and Feathers, or look up our official Raxfur and Feathers Facebook page on Facebook. All right, everybody, we'll talk to you next time.